One thing that I sent out an email earlier this week about some changes that are coming to Pathway. So I want to let you know that November is going to be our last month here at Coronado. We gave our official notice earlier this week to Amphi School District. We really appreciate everything that they've done for us. But our time here is done. Here's what's going on. In December, and for at least the month of December, our church is going to meet up at the home of Dick Moser, right up the hill. Most of you have been there. If you haven't been there, it's very easy to get to, right up Golder Ranch, all the way up the mountain, and right on Swan. And we'll pass out maps and directions to everybody before our last week here. But Dick has offered his home. He has those of you that have been there know, he has a nice big meeting area, this big living room that he has that will hold about 60 chairs, which is more than enough for the size that we are right now. And it will give us a chance to even grow. And he has a garage that we're cleaning out that we're going to kick the kids into and lock them up. No, we're going to make it nice. We're going to make it really, really good. And I'm excited about this. Since we made this decision earlier this week, actually last Sunday, I've been having visions of what our service is going to look like there. And I'm really excited about what God's going to do. A lot more, it's going to be a much more intimate setting. It's going to be a home church. And so we're gonna treat it as such. I've already said in the past many times that we're a family, and a family is gonna meet in a home. It seems appropriate, doesn't it? So I know that Dick's home is gonna be blessed by us being there and by the Holy Spirit being there, and I look forward to this change. It's gonna be exciting. God's really gonna move. And we're still working on some long-term plans for the future that I don't want to go into right now because I'm sick of getting your guys' hopes up and then dashing them. So I'm keeping things close to the vest for right now until things are a little more certain. But I do want you to know that I love you guys and I'm excited about what God's going to do. This is good stuff. And honestly, we've been in this series on restoration for the past couple of months, and that's kind of what this move is geared to do. You know, our church has taken some hits over the years. We've taken a beating sometimes, and we need to be restored. You know, we need to be built back up. We need our foundation. Our foundation is firm. That's built on Jesus Christ. But we need to restore some of the walls and buildings, you know, of our church family. So that's what I hope that this will do. So I'm excited. We have been in this series on restoration and talking about things in our own lives that need to be restored, built up, put back together after life happens to us and knocks us down, punches us in the mouth sometimes, and breaks down our walls, much like the sand on at the beach when the tide comes in. It just kind of drags away a little bit of sand at a time. Every wave drags a little bit of sand away until, you know, all the sand is dragged out to sea. And we need to restore those parts of our lives that get eroded by just living daily life. So I want to talk to you this morning about restoring purity. And a lot of people, when you hear the word purity, first thing that comes to your mind is sexual purity. And that's true. That's part of it. But just as a whole, I want to treat purity as any kind of sin that may be present in your life. Any kind of unconfessed sin, any patterns of sin that may be there in your life that prevent you from being everything that God wants you to be. Because God has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life. We've talked about this. And sometimes we can get in the way of that. by the way that we choose to live. And so we need to consistently be reanalyzing our life, looking for areas that aren't lined up with what God would have us do, and take care of those things. Line everything up with God. Our heart lined up with God, God's heart. Our thoughts lined up with God's thoughts. That's my goal for you guys in your life. And any kind of sin that you choose to participate, anything that is that goes against what God has for you, anything that He talks about in His Word as things you shouldn't be participating in, any of those things can misalign our lives then. We're not lined up with God anymore. So we need to consistently be looking at our lives and lining things back up with Him. Sometimes just by living life, you know, like we've been talking about, little bits of sin can creep in and it just kind of snowballs. And you look around at some point maybe and you realize that you're knee deep in something that you never wanted to be involved in, but now you're stuck. And sometimes you don't have the energy or the motivation to dig yourself out. We're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect. We have a sin nature that's always battling with the Holy Spirit inside us. We're never going to be perfect. But sometimes that sin can become overwhelming. That sin in our lives, it can overwhelm everything else. And it can block our communication with God. It can prevent us from living the way that God wants us to live. Because we're stuck in these cycles. We're stuck in this trap. And that's one of the ways that the devil can gain a foothold in our lives. If you have any kind of sin in your life that's not confessed, that gives the devil an entry point into your life where he can attack you. And he can finagle his way in through that little back door that you've left open. And he can impact your life in ways that you don't want him to. It takes work on our part to get out of these things. It takes effort on our part. When we opened this series, we talked about the book of Nehemiah and how Israelites were coming back from exile and they were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, right? And the people that were working under Nehemiah, they were working hard. They had to expend a great amount of energy, a great amount of effort to rebuild those walls. And it's the same way in our own lives. Any of these areas that we've been talking about over the past few months, if you want to restore those areas of your lives, it's going to take effort on your part. It's going to take hard work. You've got to make it a priority in your life to restore those parts of your lives. We're called to be holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16, it says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." We're called, we're commanded by God to be holy, to be pure. In Psalm 24, verses 3 through 6, it says, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face, God of Jacob." How many people do you know that have clean hands and a pure heart? Cleanliness and purity is a lot like being pregnant. Either you are or you're not, right? Either your hands are completely clean or you've got a speck of dirt on there and they're not clean. Either your heart is completely pure or you have one impure thought and your heart's not pure anymore. So how are we supposed to follow this command to be holy? We're never going to do that on our own. We're never going to be able to achieve that by ourselves. We can't do it. We'll never live a perfect life without sin. Not till we get to heaven. So I'm going to help you with that right after I talk about four different kinds of sin that we can get sucked into sometimes. Four different types of sin, degrees of sin, if you will. Sin is sin, but these are four different types of that sin. First type of sin I want to talk to you about is addictive sin. Addictive sin is anything that has a physical or psychological or chemical effect on you, that it becomes an addiction. Alcohol, getting drunk. You know, that is an addiction for people. They like the feeling that they get when they do it. Drugs are an addiction, right? Pornography is an addiction. You know, a lot of people don't know that, but the way that God created us, love and the act of making love to the person that you're married to, those are ways that God has designed us. It stimulates a part of the brain and releases two neurochemicals, oxytocin and vasopressin. And these chemical releases, they're part of our reward system that God gave us to supply pleasing sensations for pleasing activities. That's the way God made us. But because there's sin in the world and we have a sin nature, that what God created to be good becomes warped. And the good that God wants to give us, we turn into lust. And we turn, and that lust has the same effect of releasing those neurochemicals into our brain. And we like it, and we want more of it. It's a chemical addiction. And that's why so many men get sucked into pornography and then they can't get out again. Because it's an addiction. It's very difficult to break free from that on your own. We need to be set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. Addiction does not equal an excuse to sin. Can't say, "Oh, I'm addicted to it. I can't help myself." No, sin is sin, and you need to address it, take care of it, get it out of your life. Another kind of sin is not necessarily an addiction, but it's just repetitive sin. This is sin that doesn't have any physical or psychological or chemical addictive qualities, but it's something that you continually struggle with over and over. It's these cycles of sin that we get sucked into, like anger. You know, a lot of us struggle with anger. For me, it's real easy for me to get angry at my kids and yell at them, you know. And we need to address those repetitive sins and get them out of our lives. Greed, jealousy, you know, wanting more than you have, seeing what somebody else has and wanting that for yourself, you know, not being satisfied with what God has blessed you with. You know, that's a sin. And a lot of us, we fall into that trap. We see what other people have. We want it for ourselves. And then we repent of that sin. And then the next week, we see the person driving a new car. And we're like, "Oh, man. Why can't that be me? Why can't I have a new truck like Jeffrey does?" You know? This is repetitive sin that we need to address in our lives. Unforgiveness. We're going to focus on this next week. But unforgiveness is one that if somebody hurts you in some way and you have bitter feelings towards them and then you decide to forgive them and you let go of that hurt, and you forgive them. It's very easy to see them walking down the street the next week and all those feelings come back. All those bad feelings come flooding back into your brain. And then you have to choose to forgive them again for the same thing, you know, because those bitter feelings are back. But if you harbor those things, then that becomes sin. If you harbor those bitter feelings, those bad feelings towards those people, that can ruin your life. So these repetitive sins that we continually struggle with, and you know what they are for you, these repetitive sins that you continually struggle with, we need to address those. We need to be set free from those things so that we can be pure in God's sight. Another kind of sin I call the oops sin. These are just one-off. Every once in a while, you do something, you make a bad choice, you make a bad decision. Oops, God, I screwed up. I'm sorry. You know, I sinned. Forgive me. And turn around and walk the other way. It's not something you do on a continual basis. It's just you make a bad decision. You know, we all have these in our daily lives. Just things that aren't in our nature, aren't usually things that we would do. We just made a bad choice and blew it. You know? Like, oops, I lied to my boss about this project I'm working on, and I'm not as far along as I said I was. And that was wrong. Or, oops, I was late for work this morning, so I drove a lot faster than I usually do, and I was going way over the speed limit, and I'm glad I didn't get caught. But it was wrong, you know? Or, oops, I lost my temper and yelled at my kid. It's not something that I usually do, but, oh, man, I really blew it, you know? Those are the oops sins. And we have to address those. This is why you need to continually be re-examining your life. Because you need to look for these areas that maybe you forgot about. You missed something that you had done that you need to confess. You need to get it out of your life. Because if you let those little oops sins build up in your life, they're going to overwhelm you. Or they're going to move up the ladder, become repetitive sins. Right? And the fourth kind of sin is unintentional sin. And this is a little bit hard to grasp. It's a little hard for me to explain, so I hope I do a good job of this. Some people think, if I didn't know that it was wrong when I did it, then I'm not going to be held responsible for it. And that's absolutely untrue. Leviticus chapter 4 talks about this concerning the Old Testament Israelites. Verses 27 and 28, it says, if any member of the community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, when they realize their guilt and the sin they have committed becomes known, they must bring as their offering for the sin they committed a female goat without defect. So God addresses this with them. He says, if you didn't know it was wrong when you did it, but then you realize, oh, gee, that was wrong, then you need to address it, make it right, and repent. Not knowing any better was not an excuse in the Old Testament. And it's not an excuse today either. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Right? Ignorance of the rules of God's law is not an excuse. Like if you get pulled over for speeding, right? Cop pulls you over, he walks up to your window, knocks on the window, says, do you know how fast you were going? And you say, yeah. Do you know what the speed limit is? No. I don't know what the speed limit is. I thought it was 55 here. Well, it's 25. Oops. I didn't know. You know? I swear, officer, I didn't know what the speed limit was. You will probably, unless you get a really nice guy that shows you mercy, you will probably still get a ticket. Because ignorance is not an excuse. Not knowing what the law was is not an excuse. When we do something wrong, even if we don't know that it's wrong at the time, and then we realize it was wrong, we need to confess it, we need to repent, and we need to make it right. For instance, say you're at a bookstore, you're buying a book, right? You're at the cash register, you pay for this $25 book, you give them $40. OK? Okay? He gives you your change. You're walking out of the store back to your car. You're halfway to your car in the parking lot, and you realize that the guy gave you $25 change instead of $15. Give you a 20 and a 5 instead of a 10 and a 5. Now, a lot of us, myself included, tend to try to rationalize this and say something like, the book was too expensive to begin with, so... Or, they messed up, it's not my fault, it's not my problem. You know, it was their mistake, so I get to keep it. Or, even, God's blessing me with an extra $10. Right? You ever use that one? Yeah. But in reality, you're stealing from that store. It was unintentional. But once you realize that it was wrong, and you don't go make it right, that then it becomes sin. We talked about speeding. You know, you might not realize how fast you were going, but then you see the speed limit marker on the side of the road. Whoa, I've been going too fast. That's wrong. Or taxes. Taxes is a tricky one, isn't it? Because a lot of us do our own taxes, or we hire an accountant to do our taxes for us. And what if, you know, a month after you file your taxes, you realize that there was a deduction that you took that wasn't legal, that you shouldn't have taken. Or you find a receipt for some extra income that you had forgotten to claim. You know? It was unintentional that it got left off your taxes. It's much easier just to tuck it away, sweep it under the rug, and forget about it. But it was wrong. You need to make it right. Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. So if we find an error on our taxes, we got to go and fix it and make it right. Now the guilt associated with this kind of sin, that doesn't come until you realize that there was wrongdoing. You know, if you do your taxes and leave something off by complete unintentional accident, and you never find it, you never realize it, I don't think that God's going to hold you responsible for that. But once you realize, once you find that you have done something wrong, that wrong has been committed, you need to go and make that right. For instance, if you're parking, you're pulling out of a parking space, right? And you bump the car next to you completely by unintentional, you don't even realize that you did it, right? And you drive away. Somebody waves you down in the parking lot. Hey, I saw you bump that car back there. You know, what? I did? And you go back and you look. Yeah, the dent is right where you would, you know, backed out of the space or whatever. Then you need to make that right. If you choose to just drive away, then it's wrong. But if you had never realized that you bumped that car, it's a real bummer for the people that own that car. But I don't think you could, you know, be held responsible for that if it was never brought to your attention. So we need to continually examine our lives for these types of sin. We need to deal with them. Some of these things, you know, the unintentional sin, the oops sin, those things we can simply confess, repent, walk away from. Some of the other categories, the repetitive sin, the addictive sin, some of those things, we need help. We cannot break free from those cycles on our own, or it's really difficult to do so. And we have this Set Free ministry that's starting soon, right? Do we have a date on when that's starting?
January
at the Firehouse, Golden Ranch Firehouse. And I'm excited about this. I think people's lives are going to be changed. I think people are going to be set free from things that are holding them in bondage. And talked about hearing from God first, right? That's the first set of lessons. And Hearing from God is critical to being set free. But when we're looking at the sin in our lives, sometimes we need help. We need someone to come alongside us and walk with us and help us through, help us be free from these things. We need to get the sin out of our lives, and we need to be pure in God's sight. We've talked about this before. Only pure, perfect, holy things can be in God's presence, right? So as soon as we were born with a sin nature, and as soon as we commit that first sin and we're no longer perfect, we can no longer be in God's presence. We can no longer be in heaven. But Jesus, God's Son, came and paid that penalty for us. Praise God. Died for us so that we could be pure in God's sight. He wiped away all that sin. He paid that penalty for us. Now listen to this. So basically, whenever you harbor areas of sin in your life, whenever you knowingly hold on to those areas of your lives that you know are not right, you are spitting on that sacrifice. You hear me? You are slapping Jesus in the face. If you have sin in your life that you know is there and you're not addressing it, you are taking His grace for granted. Imagine that you had $100,000 and you wanted to bless some teenager. You wanted to pay their way to college, right? So you've got all this money. I'm going to use Megan here. I'm giving Megan $100,000 to go to college, all right? So she can get a good education, get a great job, completely change her life. It's going to be great, you know? But I'm sitting there. I'm at my office with Megan. I'm writing out her check for $100,000. She takes that check. She kicks me in the gut. And as I'm lying there, writhing on the ground in pain, she's putting $20,000 on that weekend's football game, you know? And she's calling all her friends saying, "Hey, party at my house tonight! Yeah, I got some money to blow! All right!" You know? You wouldn't do that, right? No, you wouldn't do that. That's the way that some of us treat God's grace. He's given us this gift, this amazing, life-transforming gift. And we're refusing to surrender our entire lives to Him. We're holding on to areas of sin in our lives that we don't want to let go of. Let go. Be set free. Paul told Timothy to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And some of us aren't. We're called to be holy. So examine your life. Take a good, honest look at the way you live. And if there's anything that doesn't line up with God's heart and God's thoughts, get rid of it. Confess it, repent, walk away. Be free. We're a family. We've talked about that. And family is here to love and support and encourage you no matter what you're facing in your life. This is a safe place. This is a safe place, and you can be free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you so much. And I know that I'm here in this room with this group of people that loves you too. But none of us is perfect. Not one of us in this room is perfect. We all have areas of our lives that need to be rooted out. Give us the courage to do that, Father. Set us free from the things that are holding us in bondage. Set us free from those addictions. Set us free, Lord, from those repetitive cycles of sin, the anger, the greed, the unforgiveness, everything else, Lord. Set us free. Lord, as we move into this next phase of our church's history, we want to start fresh. We want to start pure. We want to start as a holy group of people dedicated to doing your will. Restore this purity in our lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have